Drop everything. It's the Chemist Warehouse half-price vitamin and cosmetic sale. Hurry, this sale won't last. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Oh, good morning, Ron, this Monday morning. What a terrible weekend it was.
I'm bloody
rained,
angry,
it poured, our teams got done.
I'm very angry.
Oh, gee.
I'm not happy.
Oh, what's wrong?
Nah, I'm not happy. Bloody football. I tell you what.
You told me we'd both win.
I thought we would. I thought you'd probably lose, but I just wanted to get your hopes up. And then we capitulated. It was the first thing.
You gave me false hope.
A little bit. No, I did think you could win, but you up and down.
Weren't even close. Terrible.
No, didn't even rock
terrible.
Up. Terrible. Now, what is going on with your first quarters?
Don't know. Nothing. Not much.
You know, they need the cracker up their clacker.
Yeah, they do.
In the Northern Territory News.
Yeah. Hey, Rude, today, now, I didn't think you could top this, but you told us a story the other day about Little Joe. I've heard on the grapevine that you've got an even better story this morning.
Well,
with
there
your kids.
Might be, yeah. It depends on whether my wife answers her phone.
I can't
this
wait
morning.
For this. Yeah. It's hilarious.
There's been more, I don't know, what do you call it? More shenanigans in my joint over the weekend. But a bit of fun. We're going to have a chat to Rosanna Mangiarelli from Today Tonight a little bit later on. A good story about Mark Micken, former Adelaide Crow, Brisbane Bear, SNFL coach who's had Parkinson's disease. We're going to talk to her. We've got footy review. Unfortunately, we've got the grumpy old men back as well. We got Limo for a laugh, and we're going to give away $10,000.
It will go off today. We're not leaving until someone wins it.
That's right. That'll be just after 8, plus the pressure test where you can win $1,000.
Ruined. It's on Triple M.
Triple M. You should have never trusted Hollywood.
On Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Oh, let's get straight to it. Fordy, good morning.
Are you big fans of Costa Georgiadis?
No. Come again. Who's he or she?
He is nominated for the Gold Logie this year as one of the most popular people on Australian TV.
Really?
And yeah, what does Costa do?
It's a bit like he's on Gardening Australia. I'd never heard of him either. Well, on Friday night, the Gardening Australia show was the 14th most watched show in the country with 382,000 people.
Well, that's got Gold Logie written all over it.
He's competing against Amanda Keller. Yeah, that's fair enough. She's pretty big time. Roger Corser from Dr. Docker, Waleed Ali, Sam Mack, Eve Morey, she's a young girl in Neighbours, and Tom Gleeson and Costa Georgiadis.
We're thin on the ground, aren't we?
Didn't last year Grant Denyer win for Family Feud and the show got axed?
Yeah, exactly.
How does that work?
Well, look, you've got to understand this: the role of social media. See, Sam Mack is nominated this year. Now, Sam's terrific. He does the weather on Sunrise.
Yep.
But, they deliberately ran a campaign to say, vote for Sam, almost as a kind of a send-up, and he actually has ended up getting in. So it's all very weird. The other really weird thing is there, Tom Gleeson from Hard Quiz. I mean, that's a popular show. That's fair enough, and Tom's terrific. But you just wonder, on Friday, he announced he was quitting the show.
You're kidding.
Put out a press release to say, I'm no longer continuing as the host. I want to concentrate on my comedy routines and whatever, whatever. And now suddenly he's got the Gold Logie nomination. He's saying, well, if I win the Gold Logie, I might come out of retirement. I might actually not quit the show after all. So vote for me. So I think it was all turned out to be just a kind of publicity gimmick.
Well, he also might have been taking the mickey out of what happened last year, because as you know, he said a lot about the Gold Logie and Grant Denyer, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, absolutely.
So there might be a connection there.
It's really weird. The other weird thing is, like, Neighbours. Neighbours, some people might even think Neighbours is not even on anymore, but it is tucked away on the Channel 10 secondary channel. But what they did, you know, people like Colette Mann, who's in the cast, were lobbying the Neighbours fans in England to vote for the Logies to get them across the line. So that's how they've ended up getting in. So there's all sorts of that. The role of social media now is massive in terms of who ends up getting a nomination or not.
The Channel 9 footy show got axed on Thursday nights a little while ago, but they had to issue an apology after the Sunday footy show yesterday.
Well, they had Mel Brown on, and Mel was just having fun and being silly, and he did a gag about Kevin Bartlett. and said, oh, he's Jewish. He's never shouted for a drink in his life.
Mm. Yep.
Now, that meant that Channel 9 then went out and issued an apology for this anti-Semitic comment. I can understand Channel 9 issuing an apology if they've had an official complaint. But are we just sort of now, we're so nervous about what we say, are we all just trying to get in first and let's issue the apology before anybody has a chance to take up a petition? And, you know, it's very strange times in which we live. And does this mean now we can't do, you know, Irish jokes? We can't send up the New Zealand accent? Is sort of everything off limits now? Maybe it is. Maybe
unless you're a comedian.
Thing.
And then you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, and in a comedy club, but the second you do it on radio or TV, you know, people come after you.
See, I reckon comedians, even on radio, get away with more than what the normal punter can, but whether that's right or wrong.
Well, they do say satire is an excuse. And in fact, Pete, when you do your radio codes, they say that. They say if it's in the name of comedy or satire, you can do it.
Really?
Well, as much as I love Mel, I don't really associate clever satire with Mel Brown.
No, so, probably not.
But that was the sort of gag that most of us would probably do in a pub or at a party.
Mm.
You know, and we don't mean anything by it. I'm not even sure if Kevin Bartlett is. Is he actually Jewish?
No.
I'm not sure.
No. He's very tight, though. Yeah.
I suppose that's different. Then I suppose if it's not, if you're using being Jewish just as a joke point, rather than the person actually being Jewish and they're happy to be sent up, I don't know. It's very hard to work out what you can and
where
can't
the line
do
is.
These days.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
Have a good one.
Good on you. There he is, Peter Ford. Just a reminder, Roo, $10,000 up for grabs just after 8 o'clock this morning. And we are staying here. I hope someone gets it quick because we're staying here until someone gets it right.
It's going to go off, Ditz. Don't worry about that. After 8.
Roo and Ditz on Triple M.
What's a goal?
Roo and Ditz overnight sports.
Crows tickets on sale now at tickettech.com.au.
We fly as one.
In short, Roo, what can you tell us happened to the Crows on the weekend? Looked like they were leading comfortably and then lost to the West Coast Eagles.
They actually played reasonably well to half time, and then the Eagles played really well after half time and exposed Adelaide's midfield. They got badly beaten. Adelaide's forwards struggled in the second half, and Adelaide's key defenders struggled. So if all areas of the game struggle in the second half, you get rolled by 45 points in the last quarter and two-thirds. They didn't play that bad. They just got beaten by a better side. And I think I said Friday, whoever kicks straight will probably win the game. Adelaide had kicked 10-13. They kicked 13-7. And that's the difference.
Yep.
West Coast are the only side in the comp that shoot on goal better than 50%.
The only team.
17 others are less than 50-50. And that was the game was done.
Okay. I want to hear from Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley.
Look, it was really clear early, you know, that that they were up and about and hunting us a little bit more than we were hunting them back. And that's a poor thing for us because our starts haven't been super for most of the year. So we just continually have to work at that. And we spoke about that as a group of players and coaches, that we need to make sure we're better and ready to go right from the very start, because that's where games are won and lost. And we've seen that today, because we didn't really make much ground for the rest of the game. It was after the first quarter, it was probably a nil-all draw nearly, and that's what happens in AFL football sometimes.
Roo, it has been happening too often this year. Port Adelaide's first quarters, they've been thrashed by teams.
They've had five goals to zip, six goals to zip,
and again on the weekend, absolutely threat. Did not score a single behind in the opening quarter, which isn't good enough.
No, it's not.
But is it, my question to you, right, is it the way they're playing tactically, or are they asleep? Because it seems as well.
The start of the game you're talking, or in general?
In general, because after the first quarters, when they're bad, it's like they throw caution to the wind and start running and running around and kick goals. So you think, I'm thinking.
Don't even take any notice
do
of
that.
Because it's got no relevance at all, them making a comeback after the game's done. It's like Melbourne coming back against GWS yesterday. It doesn't matter. They take the foot off the pedal. It's irrelevant, totally irrelevant. And it's like when a coach gets sacked, just go and play well like North Melbourne did on the weekend. It's irrelevant because you got to do it at the start of the game when the game's there to be won. That's when you got pressure on to take the kicks and take the risks in the game. So they need to do something about their starts because it's happened too often. Game's done.
The mid-season draft is on tonight, Roo, which will be interesting.
Sure is. Now, SNFL clubs will be having heart attacks about what's going to happen tonight. Hopefully for them, they don't lose too many players. It's tough for the SANFL clubs in that regard. I'm not sure whether Adelaide will pick anyone or whether Port will. We'll have to wait and see, but it is underway tonight.
South Adelaide yesterday won the Women's SANFL Premiership. They've gone back-to-back. Great effort. And they beat North Adelaide by 22 points. Quickly in the tennis, Roger Federer has won his first round match at the French Open. Ashley Barty plays tonight. In the supercar, Scott McLaughlin won at the weekend at Winton in his Ford Mustang. He has extended his championship lead.
He's on fire, isn't he?
Yep. And Lewis Hamilton has won the Monaco Grand Prix, and he's dedicated the win to Nicky Lauda.
They will take their place on the podium.
That one's for Nicky, mate. That one is for Nicky.
Lauda.
Yeah, don't. That's our look at sport. Hey, Crows tickets are on sale now at tickertech.com.au.
Louder.
Yeah, Crows tickets are on sale now.
Louder. Monday Talkback up next.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Ruben.
On Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Not really enough for argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Let's go straight to the phones, Ru.
Yeah, exactly right, Dits.
Yeah, we've got Murray on the Murray. What can we do for you, Murray?
Yeah. Well, I'm not ringing up for an argument for a start.
Oh, no. Hang on.
But, I was really good to see that Hamilton won the Grand Prix overnight.
Yeah.
And, it was really good that there was a minute silence for that Austrian bloke that used to be a champion.
Lauda.
Pardon?
Lauda.
I said it was really good that they had a minute of silence.
See, Murray knows Austria. How to do the gag.
He set it up perfectly.
Actually, that's why I'm ringing, because you know Marcel Marceau?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's why I'm ringing up, because actually when he died, I don't know whether you blokes know, but at his funeral, they actually had a minute's noise.
Did they? Right. Yeah.
Anyway,
all right.
I'm not ringing up for
now. No. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Maz.
Murray on the Murray, one of our regulars. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Helen, you have to speak up a little.
What's wrong, Helen?
I'm glad that you took up my offer, Mark.
Pardon?
It was great to see you last Wednesday.
What happened there, Helen?
Well, you should ask Mark Christopher.
Right.
And I'm glad you took up my offer.
Did you venture down to Hindley Street, Mark?
Did someone use my fake ID or something?
Mark came around and took up my offer of buy one, get six free.
Get six free? What are we talking about?
My relaxation massage.
Right.
Buy one, get six free.
Right.
So you're giving them one.
That's a good deal.
Mark, tell Christopher what I was able to do for you.
well, what if I knew?
Remember how you came in? Christopher?
Yeah.
I was able to cure Mark's hiccups.
Were you?
Helen.
Right. Now, if we need to remind people that last week, Dr. Carl.
Just a bit of a massage.
Yeah. What sort of massage was it, Helen?
Stimulation.
Yeah.
We know.
It was the digital rectal massage, apparently.
See you next Tuesday, Mark.
Right. So you've paid for one, you're getting six free. Lucky. Yeah. Time for one more call. Hello, good morning.
Oh, g'day, boys.
Oh, Tex.
How are you, mate?
Is she right, is she?
Oh, she's unbelievable, telling lies, Tex.
Is she feeling? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, mate. She, I didn't even see her last Wednesday, I think.
Yeah. I tell you what, I heard you before. It was right about the weekend. It's rain and just we were no good. They were no good.
Yeah,
your team, Ditz, was no good, were they?
Nah, terrible.
Yeah, you just can't kick a goal in the first quarter.
Nah, that's right.
No good.
You can't kick one at all.
I was thinking, the missus bought a litre container of carpet cleaner.
Right.
And if she spilled that on the carpet.
Yeah.
Then what would happen?
Well, your carpet would be clean.
Well, I don't know. How would you clean that up, though?
You wouldn't have to, would you?
Yeah. Anyway, right. Boys, I might come in tomorrow.
Right,
yeah. Eh? All right, Tex. Yeah.
See you tomorrow, boys.
See you tomorrow, Tex. That's all we got time for, thank God. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M on this Monday morning. Ru, very, very good friend of yours and former teammate Mark Micken. Now, you're closer to him than most. You actually went to Nepal with him, didn't you, at one stage?
Yeah, did the Annapurna circuit up there, which is like climbing the base camp of Mount Everest.
Yep.
Yeah, we good mates and played footy together and... his kids are friends of our kids, are sort of tied up in the father-son stuff with the Crows, and he's a ripping fella.
Certainly is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in sport and footy. Tonight on Today Tonight, there's a very special report about Mark Micken and his struggles with health. Rosanna Mangiarelli, good morning, Rosanna.
Good morning, fellas. Always good to deliver a good news story on a Monday morning.
Yeah, so tell us the latest with Mark Micken. What's your story about?
So Mark Micken, most would probably know that he's suffering from Parkinson's disease. He was diagnosed, a few years ago now. Insidious disease, it's just debilitating, and anyone who has a family member with Parkinson's knows just how awful it is. One of the biggest features of the condition is the tremors. And Mark Micken has been afflicted by this, like I say, for some time. In fact, it could have laid dormant for years and years, even before those first symptoms appeared. So it's those terrible tremors. We're talking this gentle giant, this, you know, huge figure, amazing man. You've said how lovely he is, who's been afflicted with this terrible disease. But he's had this incredible surgery, about 6 weeks ago now, and it's called deep brain stimulation, which isn't new in itself, but they've really developed this procedure. It's a surgical treatment, and what they've done is pretty much drilled holes in his skull, put wires through, connected it to a device in his chest. And what they've been able to do is, through Bluetooth technology, use like an iPod device to control the signals that are sent to his brain, which means he's been able to control his tremors. And it is rather extraordinary. We've gone from, you know, a man who's shuffling, who can't kick a footy with his boys, to a man who is starting to walk. And most importantly, can kick the footy with his boys now. It is just this extraordinary stuff. And we've actually got vision of the procedure of the incredible neurological science team in Melbourne who are doing this procedure. It is, you know, it's something that has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, there's no cures out there yet. And in typical Mark Micken fashion, he wants everything to be about helping everyone else, a little bit along the lines of Neil Danaher. They don't want it to be about them, but they want to use their own issues to help others. So, it's going to be an interesting one tonight for sure, Rosanna.
It is. And like you say, you know, it takes a bit of guts to front up to the cameras, to be able to show people this vision. But, you know, it's to show that this is available, and he's been quite a champ throughout the process.
Fantastic. Rosanna, thanks for joining us again, and we'll be watching tonight. Good stuff.
Excellent. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Rosanna Mangiarelli. And Mark Micken, we'll say it again, one of the best blokes you'll ever meet.
Dits, while he's been in Melbourne for over a month, so many guys from the footy community, from SANFL, and AFL have all got together, run headlined by Bernie Conlon, and they've renovated his house as well, which...
Is that right?
Absolutely unbelievable, the job that Bernie's done to coordinate it with. And you'll hear a lot more about the people that have dug deep in time and money to... get this house up to speed, because apart from being physically, debilitating, it's financially as well. Rubbers hadn't been able to work for years. So, it's a tough one, but a good story you'll hear more about over the coming months and weeks.
Well, under Bernie Conlon and everyone involved. All right, tonight on Channel 7, Today Tonight. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Pressure test coming up shortly, where you can win $1,000 cash, and then the grumpy old men.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruined Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
I've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, Roo. Who we got in here this morning?
Johnny Reid, former footy manager from the Crows and real hard negotiator. Tony Franzon, who owns a lot of pubs around Adelaide and barracks for Port Adelaide like no other.
And his main pub's at Norwood, can you believe that? Yeah. Port Adelaide bloke's got the Bath Hotel.
Unbelievable, they do anything for money, Port people. But Michael Pratt, who is a bushy, a politician, and a pain in the ass. G'day, Pratty.
I'm good.
Good stuff. Women's football. Been a big success. 53,000 people at Adelaide Oval for the women's grand final a couple of months ago. Do you like it? Are you worried about the girls' safety? Do you think it's going to hang around and be a long-term sport? What's your thoughts, Reddy?
My first thoughts when it came out, I thought, look, I'm not too certain about this, and it wasn't all that good to watch. I've got some mates and their sons and their kids are playing, the girls are playing, and they're starting at a young age. And in the 3 or 4 years that they've been at it, they've actually improved. I think in 10 years' time, it's actually going to be a pretty good standard of game. My big worry is whether they're physically up to it, but that doesn't seem to worry them. They love it.
They go hard.
You've been involved at the highest level as an administrator. Can it financially be viable? Can it pay for itself, or is that not important?
I think in time it will. I think genuinely it will become a game that the standard will improve and people will go and watch it. I think it's been a very, very clever ploy by the AFL.
And you're usually the biggest, harshest critic of the AFL.
A lot of things I don't like that they do, but the one thing there, remember, 52% of our people that watch footy are women.
Yep.
And to keep them involved, and you're going to replace all the older women that are grumpy old women, and they need to do that. And by doing this and creating that, they're going to fill that probably even bigger than 52%. Yep. So I'm a fan. I'm a believer of it. I've got to be honest, I don't watch a lot of it. Watch the final.
Well, it's in summer. The times aren't perfect.
No,
for it.
But I do think it'll get better, boys. I know we're a bit critical, but I think it's going to get better.
All right, Tony Franzon.
I coached the juniors at Loretto College, the women's football, and it was probably from a standards point of view was, you know, around the 4 or 5 year mark of young boys.
Yeah.
But I think...
What age are you coaching?
They were the seniors, so they were 16, 17-year-old
All right.
girls.
Yep.
But I think you've got to appreciate that footy had just come in and their skill level will improve over time. As the juniors start getting used to dealing with the football, handball, marking and whatever, I think it's got a real place. It will obviously never supersede men, only from the point of view of the physicality of it. But the girls love it and they really enjoy it. And I think any sport that can get young people out, you know, getting their fitness level up and enjoying is a good thing.
Were you sceptical before it started, friends?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you sit there back as a, you know, an old rough and tumble football and you think, oh God, why do the girls have to get involved in this now? But
they
love it. And the girls, and there was no beg your pardons when we played football at school level. The girls going really hard, which is quite amazing. And I'll tell you what, I reckon they don't mind dropping a few if they get the chance to.
Freddy.
Well, I'm involved at Norwood from administration and big crowd numbers. I understand we don't make any money, much money. They don't spend money over the bar or...
Family event.
It's a family event. I reckon it sucked the oxygen out of every other women's sport that, I mean, it's sexy and trendy to follow the AFL blokes. And so those out there battling the Kettle Lacrosse teams on the pitch, and someone like Rachel Sporn would have been a sensational women's footballer.
Yep, if it was around.
And I'm not bothered about the injuries in these enlightened day and times of equal equality and equal pay in industry. Well, they do crack in hard, so you can't bother about injuries and say, well, you know, only bump softly. Mm. That's bullshit.
I must admit, I'd much rather them doing that, girls, than sitting on their phones.
Good point. Good point.
We just talked about it, and to me, I reckon much rather see him doing that.
Yep, good note to finish on. Thanks, boys. John Reid, Tony Franzon, Michael Pratt. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Oh, it was a sad, sad, sad weekend for our footy sides. But I want to go back to Friday, Roo. You filled me with hope.
Oh, I did. I'm barracking for Port and the Crows this weekend. I think they can both win. I think they both can, but they both didn't. Crows probably should have, but didn't. Had more scoring shots, more inside 50s, were 33 points up and still couldn't win, which is a concern. It's a definite concern. And they're not where I thought they'd be at this time of the year, the Crows, and they've got a tough run to the finals, to be honest. Port Adelaide, I thought it was 50-50 at best in
Tassie.
You
told me they'd win. Did you lie to me?
I said they could win. But they're up and down, Port, aren't they?
Terrible.
Don't even rock up first sometimes.
Quarters, yeah, first quarter, that's just unforgivable. Not to score a single point.
No. Nah, there's something wrong going on when you're not scoring at least a point. I don't think they'll play finals, Dits.
What?
Port. Now, that's not groundbreaking. They're in the eight at the moment. You have a look at their draw. They've got a reasonable draw. I still don't think they'll make finals. They're going to have to improve out of sight and get more consistent if they're going to play finals. Do you think they're seriously going to play, or do you...
Well, let's take your one-eyed hat off. And I talked to all of my mates about this. Our best is good enough. We think... I do think there's so much talent there that the best we play is really, really good. But then we just don't see it, do we?
You've got Dixon to come back and decide at some point, but what sort of impact is he going to have after a long time? Lysett's going to come back in. Wines is going to come back in. And Burton's going to come back in. You'd think Robbie Gray and Jonas would get a bit better, but I don't know, Dits. I think it's going to be a tough march to September for Port. And for the Crows, it ain't much different. This game against Melbourne is absolutely huge. I've had a look at the draw from now until the end of the year. They lose this one, they might not play finals.
Melbourne.
They might. They might not. How can you possibly be confident in what the Crows are doing at the moment? I am. I think their best footy is ahead of them. I'm very confident of that, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of other times. Then they got GWS at home, who are on fire, and then Richmond at home, who are third on the ladder with all their injuries. They're doing a fantastic job. They're 50-50 games at for sure. And they got a pretty good run after that, but they are going to be on the borderline of making the finals the way they're going. If they don't improve on what they're dishing up week in, week out at the moment, they are dead set borderline to make the finals and might not. They'll have to improve. They got heaps of players that are going to come back into the side at the moment. This weekend, for instance, Matt Crouch is going to be fit. We know Gibbs is fit, whether he gets a game or not. Jenkins is pushing for spot. Lynch might be back from his hamstring. Jacobs is fit to play. McKay will be fit to play, and Douglas will be fit to play. But that doesn't mean they're going to be any better in the side, Dits.
Oh, a lot of good names, though.
They're good names, but we said about West Coast look good on paper, but they're not playing like it. Well, they played like they were on paper in the second half. I don't know. It could be a disappointing September if they don't pull their fingers out. They both might not make it.
Some people thought pre-season the Crows could win the premiership. So you're saying they're a fair way off that?
I thought they were a dead set contender to win the premiership. I thought they'd actually finish top four with their draw. I reckon they're seriously going to be lucky to make the eight at the moment. I know there's a lot of frustrated fans out there. Why isn't Jenkins getting a game when Jenkins is in? Why isn't he dropped? They're asking questions about Tex at the moment. Why is he up one week? Why is he down the next week? Why isn't Douglas there? Why are some blokes not getting games? Where's Stengel? They're asking a lot of questions. Why is Hardigan in? They want blood at the moment, the Crow supporters. They're pretty angry and they should be frustrated because I think they're like me and thought they were going to be up in the top four. I don't know what you hear out and about.
Glad I asked you about the footy. Crikey.
What did you hear? You're all happy with the way Port are going, are you?
No, of course not. No, not at all. But I said to you, this is the frustrating thing. Now, is it because it's a young side? Is that where inconsistency comes from? Because when Port play really, really well, they're exciting to watch and they're skillful and they're talented, but we're not seeing enough of it, are we?
When's the last good game Port played?
Oh, West Coast Eagles.
Yeah.
Which is a while ago now.
It is. It was Easter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so all right. Very frustrating
now,
for both
quickly,
clubs.
Tonight, mid-season draft, anything you can explain to us there? What's going on? Will Port or the Crows do anything?
I honestly don't know what Port will do. look, both sides could pick someone and they might pass it up because really you only really want to pick someone if you think you can add to your listing and a play straight away. I think the Crows have got plenty of players to come back in to their side, so I don't think they'll go for someone, but funnier things have happened. All right. A lot of other clubs will.
That's our Saw the Weekend of Footy. Limo to join us next, and just a reminder, $10,000 in the hearing test just after 8 o'clock this morning. Must go off today. Ruined, it's here on Triple M. There was a very, very serious police incident over the weekend. So serious, in fact, Roo, that a person has died as a result of a police shooting. Channel 7's Elspeth Hussey was all over it. And can we go to Elspeth now? We've just lost Elspeth, but we're going to go to Elspeth Hussey, who was the Channel 7 reporter that was there. In fact, we've got her on the line right now. Elspeth, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good. What can you tell us about this police shooting?
Oh, well, some pretty sad new details came out yesterday. So we're told this 20-year-old victim, Kobe Huddy, he was in a really bad way on Saturday morning that in the hours before he was shot dead by police. He was in a really bad state of mind, and we're told that he'd spent most of the morning, so leading up to 9:30, on the phone to Lifeline seeking help. He'd made at least two or three calls to them, and it was actually Lifeline who traced his call to this property where he'd been staying on Taplews Hill Road at Seaton.
Yep.
Now, a single police car with one officer in side was sent to the scene, but as this officer arrived, Kobe was driving away with two female friends. They're on their way to a service station to get cigarettes. Now, the police officer has pulled the car over and told Kobe to get out of the car, which he did, but when he emerged, he was holding a knife, and 7 News has since been told it was a kitchen knife, a fairly large kitchen knife. The officer was telling him to put it down, and that the women who were in the car with him said that he didn't put it down, he refused to put it down, and he did keep advancing towards the officer, but they insist he wasn't aggressive, he wasn't saying anything aggressive or sort of lunging at him, but he did refuse to put it down, and it was then that they watched as he was shot in the chest, piercing his lungs.
What time of the day did this happen?
So this was 9:30 on Saturday morning, and we're told from his friends that he'd been out the night before celebrating. That had sort of a fairly large night, and he was actually gearing up for his soccer grand final. He was a keen soccer player, and he was due to play for Manapara City on the Saturday night. But he had been in a very bad way and had been seeking help for the past few weeks through Lifeline. So it's just devastating all round. His family are absolutely shattered, as you can understand, especially his friends. They're saying that he'd sort of turned a corner over the last few weeks. They thought he was doing better. And they insist he wasn't an aggressive guy, but he was troubled. As for the police officer, you can understand they're absolutely devastated by this too. SA Police has issued a statement. They say it's not unusual for a solo patrol to be dispatched. That does happen in traffic incidents and other incidents. And they say that in this case, it was a solo patrol was the first responder and a second backup patrol was on the scene within seconds. But as we know by then, that victim, 20-year-old Kobe Huddy, had already been shot dead.
Elspeth, it's very, very unusual, firstly, for SA Police to draw their guns, but secondly, to also shoot, to fire their firearm. It's very, very rare here. So we can only presume that that officer felt very, very threatened.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people have made the point over the last 48 hours that that officer didn't go to work that day thinking he was going to shoot someone dead.
Sure.
It's always an absolute, you know, last sort of case, what you want to do. And people are asking the question, why wasn't a taser used? But, you know, we're told that he was, you know, the line from police is that he was advancing towards him and was lunging at him. So you have to imagine he felt very threatened for his safety. And, you know, he did what he thought he had to do. So I don't think anyone's blaming him at this point.
For sure. Elspeth, thanks so much for taking our call. Now, we're led to believe, in fact, Ruth, that Elspeth has jumped off the treadmill at the gym this morning to take our call. Now, that's commitment.
Very dedicated.
That is dedication, isn't it?
We don't even jump on the treadmill.
No, that's right. We won't risk it. Now, you know Elspeth, for those listening, she's the young lady that you see at the Crows games on the big screen. She does a great job.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so there you are. Hey, Ruth, it is time for the hearing test.
Oh, time to give away $10,000. We are going to give it away. We will hang around until we give away $10,000. So we're going to do that next.
Turn up your radio because it could win you $10,000.
Are you sure?
Open your freaking ears.
Triple M's $10,000 hearing test. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
Hear more about the all-new RAV4 now available. Test drive today at Adelaide, Cheltenham or Christie's Beach.
Yeah, thanks to CMI Toyota for all of this, Roo. We gave away 10 grand a couple of weeks ago. We are doing it again this morning. We're here for the long haul.
We are.
We're not going anywhere.
I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but we're up for it. Let's head to Paralowie. G'day, Shane.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Still hasn't gone off, buddy.
Let's hear it one more time. Let's hear it again. There you go. Shane, what's your guess for $10,000?
I think if you've got a clenched fist and you got your open palm and you just sort of like hit your open palm with your clenched fist.
Oh, okay. I know what you mean.
Sound a bit like
it does,
that, too.
It does, doesn't it? Adjudicator, well, let's go.
For $10,000.
No! Still not there. Sorry, Shane. Righto. Let's head to Ross Trevor.
Oh, Ross Trevor. G'day, Dane.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Well, your noise hasn't gone off yet? Your sound, your idea?
No, not that I don't believe so.
Okay. Have you been checking on the Triple M website? That's the other thing we've told people to do, to see all the wrong answers. Did you do that by any chance?
I have done, yep.
Okay.
Well, all right. What
do you
got?
Let's hear the sound. Right, Dane, what's your guess?
Okay, is it snapping a CD?
Snapping a CD. What do you mean?
I'll do that.
Explain. What do you mean?
Just snapping it in half. We don't need them anymore. We've got MP3s.
Let's just have. Yeah. Can we have a listen again? Snapping a CD in half.
Ooh, crack.
Let's go to the.
And Rudy said he would do it to your. He said he'd do it to your record collection.
Yeah, too right, I would. Very disrespectful. Don't worry about that.
Righto. Let's go to the adjudicator
for $10,000. $10,000 cash, Dane.
Oh, my God.
How good's that?
Wow.
When did you work it out? When did you think it was snapping a CD?
I knew it was something to do with a CD, with the clues that you guys have been giving out. And, I listened a couple of days ago, the whole day of clues. And the AB and then CD and the alphabet and
See, you listen, you learn.
Some of the
and
other clues,
win.
The other clues were a bit obscure though, I reckon, Dane and Rue. Like I get AB and then CD, but that's only because now I know what it is. But I couldn't.
Oh, you don't want to make it too easy, Dits.
They said there are most houses have got one of these gold because gold that you can have gold or silver.
Play
CD.
It hard.
Play it
like
hard.
A CD. Yeah, you can do that on Triple M.
Well.
Yeah. And then I looked up, there was 82 as well, and I looked up, this first CD came out in 1982.
That's right.
Oh, that
That's
was right. a very important one, that one.
Now, Dane, this is the absolute God's honest truth. We always say this, but it is true. Rue and I didn't actually know the answer to this.
I didn't have a clue.
Because it's too hard. All weekend, my kids are going, come on, Dad, tell me, what is it? And if you tell one of them, of course, it gets around Adelaide within a second. So, Dane, it's true, though. We're better off just not knowing. So, there you go. We're in the dark like you were, Dane. So,
well done, Dane.
Well done.
Oh, thanks, boys. It's made my day, made my week.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. I might spend a bit of money on the house and make a couple of improvements. Maybe go on a small holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you? What's your situation? Are you married? Are you single? What's the story?
No. I've got a partner, and I think we might go on a nice. It's actually her birthday today, so.
Now, what's her name, Dane?
Helen.
Helen.
Ditz has got a girlfriend called Helen too.
I think she'll probably be listening right now. So.
Oh, well, you are spending some cash.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Helen. well done, Dane. Have
good
a
on you,
cracking
Dane.
Birthday and well done. Thanks for listening to Triple M.
It actually works well because my birthday is tomorrow as well.
That's brilliant. Have a massive night.
Jesus, 10 grand's not going far at all. This will be
sad. I put some money on the bar.
well
good
done.
On you, Dane. Well done, mate. We're really happy for you.
Thanks, boys.
Well
Appreciate
done.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Now, Rue, how good's that? What a good winner.
Her birthday today is tomorrow. So $10,000 cash.
They'll get married this weekend. They'll run off
probably tonight at midnight.
Yeah, they could do. if you missed it, snapping a CD.
There you go.
Hey, Rue, in a moment, your wife's going to join us. I'm really looking forward to this. One of the funniest stories I've ever heard coming up next. Rue and Ditz on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Rue and Ditz for breakfast. Now, Rue, you told us a story last week about something that happened at your house, which I thought was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And that was about little Joe.
Yeah.
apparently we can top this story, though.
Well, we hope so. I was out with you on Saturday night after Triple M called the Adelaide Crows v West Coast Eagles game. We had a Triple M footy dinner after that, and so Sarah was home with the kids and with her mum and dad, who lives with us, but also my mum and dad were down as well.
Full
so
house.
It was a full house. But she told me something when I got home just before midnight on Saturday night that made me laugh before I went to bed. But it was at Sarah's expense. Right. So we thought we should get Sarah on to tell the story. Good morning, my beautiful wife.
Good morning, everyone.
What happened on Saturday night? Do you want to share that story with us?
Oh, I don't know really where to start. I'm so embarrassed. So we got home from the football, and I was going to show Murray and Carol some photos of the kids through the Apple TV on the big screen of our TV.
So you're all in the lounge room watching the big telly.
So, yeah, so we're all sitting in the lounge, and I got the photos up and showed them a couple of these funny little photos of the kids.
At the game, with all the Indigenous stuff that was happening pre-game, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, then Carol said, I had taken some photos of the pre-game stuff. So Carol said, I'll show Murray those photos of the pre-game stuff. So then Soph and I were trying to flick through my phone, and we flicked back, and all the photos sort of came up on the screen, and she clicked on one, and it was a photo of me. Like a full frontal photo of me in the shower.
Obviously, Starker's in the shower, just doing your thing.
Yeah. And it was so embarrassing. I'm like, oh my God, what is that? And I'm like, oh my God, so embarrassing, get it off. And no matter what button we clicked, it just would just keep staying there. We couldn't get it off.
So everyone out in Triple M land is going, what? How come you've got photos of yourself nude on your phone? What's going on?
Sorry. So then I had to quickly explain that in the mornings I sometimes give Tom my phone that just so that I can quickly go and have a shower, and he watches little movies on it. And last Thursday he came into the shower with my phone, and I didn't think anything of it, but he was pointing it at me. I thought he must have been watching something.
Tom's only just turned three, by the way.
He had taken all these photos, and I knew he had taken them because Rosie, we're at a meeting on Thursday afternoon, Rosie was flicking through, and she said, Mum, is that your boob? And I And there was this photo clear as day, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to get that off my phone. So I thought I'd actually deleted them all.
Was it just boobs, or was there other things that we could see?
There was, well, the money at Dad's room was the whole lot.
Oh, the old Murray from the Murray.
So Murray's just sitting in the lounge chair watching.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah, what did Dad say?
Well, I didn't think he could see that well, but he said, geez, it wasn't even foggy.
Hey, Sarah, Murray will want to come down every weekend now.
He said to me, as I think you need to get a tinted window screen.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
The old fella would have been on fire. Mum might have been happy as well. Who knows?
Oh, Sarah.
My mum was on
fire. Oh, your mum, what did she say?
See, this is, I don't know. I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, God. All right. You're recovered?
Yeah, no.
Have you deleted the photos?
I hope so.
All right. Good work, Sarah.
Well done, Sarah.
All right. Get the kids ready for school.
Okay. Right.
See ya.
Thanks for coming on, Sarah. See ya.
All right.
Bye. Rue, that's fantastic.
Oh, unbelievable.
Your house is the best reality TV show there is. I'll tell you. That's all they need to do is film the Rusciutos.
Yeah, funny story there. I tell you what, though, we're going to try and get hold of Helen Ditz after Dane from Ross Trevor's just won $10,000. We'll try and chat to the lucky partner.
All right, that's coming up next. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow. Tex Walker's going to join us tomorrow. He's under the pump, big Texan, as all the Crows are.
For him, haven't we?
Yep, and but he always fronts up and he always gives us an honest answer. So we'll do that again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you later, everyone. Have a great day.
Drop everything. It's the Chemist Warehouse half-price vitamin and cosmetic sale. Hurry, this sale won't last. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.